This dynamic message is brought to you by Redemption in Jesus with Marco Bravo.
Part 2 of speaking in tongues. So we are specifically focusing and talking about speaking in tongues. Now, we are answering three questions in this mini series. One is, what hinders one from speaking in tongues? The second question is, what is speaking in tongues? And the third question we're going to answer is, what is the benefit of speaking in tongues? So three simple things which I believe are important. And you know, in future, when anyone listens to this message, I believe that they are going to see the value of just learning and understanding and developing a passion for speaking in tongues, because it is such a powerful gift that God has given the believer. It's pretty awesome. And I'm sure those of you who've been tongue talkers for a while agree with that and say, yes, it has literally changed my life. I know it's changed mine. Like I shared last week, you know, there's been times when I've been at lows in my life, and the only thing, I assure you, no therapist, no psychologist, with all due respect, no therapy, nothing like that could do what speaking in tongues has done for me. It has done more for me as a total person than anything else or anyone else has done for me besides God. And so I really believe, and I'm a real strong advocate of speaking in tongues. And like I said, you know, as I was doing research and preparing, I always like to just see what the latest is, because things changed. And, you know, one thing that I got a shock about, which was really not a shock in the sense of years ago, but that it's still the same and maybe even worse, is how few people in Christendom who say they are Christians, who say they are believers, how few of them actually embrace tongues and speaking tongues and praying tongues. It's very sad. And you know, you wonder, you know, why do some live defeated lives? Why some struggle like they do? I mean, I've heard so many different people say that, you know, Christians sometimes are worse than unbelievers when it comes to depression, anxiety, and all these things. And I have to be honest with you, this is my personal opinion. I believe it goes back to tongues, because that's the one of the things that God, one of the reasons why God has given us tongues, is to help us through things in life. But anyway, so we are answering those three questions. Now, last week, we answered the first one, what hinders one from speaking in tongues? And we looked at different things. We looked at scripture. We explained that. So I don't want to go through all that again. So today, we are going to look at the second one. We're going to answer the second question, which is, what is speaking in tongues? And so let's begin by having a look at our flagship scripture, Mark chapter 16, verse 17, from the King James translation. Jesus speaking here while he was on earth, and he says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." Then it says, "They shall speak with new tongues." So notice, those who believe will have the experience of speaking with new tongues. In other words, referring to something new, something different to what they already speak. And so you can see from that it is God's heart and desire for us to speak in tongues. Now, I know that different denominations and different views of doctrine, they say that this says other things, and it says other languages that they haven't learned, you know, like, for example, Hebrew or this and that. And then I've heard others say, well, you know, this happened in the beginning of the church and it died away then. This is why we don't need tongues anymore. It's very sad how people who are not filled with the Spirit, because they don't have the evidence of speaking in tongues, so intellectually they teach things that are not in the Word of God. And you know, I'm not saying that I've arrived or that we've arrived and we know it all, but I'd like to think that we are being led by the Spirit as a result of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said here that those who believe will have the experience of speaking with new tongues. So tongues, we can see from this, and we've seen it last week, is a wonderful gift that God gives to us for our benefit. And also, tongues is a gift of grace. God gives it to us by His grace, meaning that you don't have to do anything to earn it, to deserve it. He gives it to you because He loves you and because you've embraced salvation in Jesus. And so it's a grace gift. And if you feel like you need to be qualified, well, you can't qualify yourself. But Jesus and the finished work of the cross, His finished work of the cross of our redemption, He is the one who qualified us for the gift of tongues. So when you receive salvation in Jesus, you are pre-qualified, praise God. You can receive the wonderful gift of speaking in tongues. Amen. So it is for everyone. No one is excluded. Any believer can receive the wonderful gift of speaking in tongues. And so it does take, though, trust and confidence in God to speak in tongues. You cannot really flow and enjoy the wonderful benefit of it without really just trusting God and putting your confidence in Him. In other words, saying, I don't know what I'm saying. Some people tell me it sounds like gibberish. Others are mocking and make fun and say this and that. But you know what? I really believe that this is coming out of me, out of my heart, out of my spirit. And so I'm just going to do it by faith and believe and trust You, Father, that I am doing what You say I am doing. We have to just trust Him completely and just let Him do the work through us. Amen. And so, you know, one thing that I often get asked is, do I have to speak in tongues? Pastor, if I don't speak in tongues, am I less of a believer? No, you're not. You're born again, you're redeemed, you're saved. It's not going to keep you out of heaven. You will, however, miss out on something awesome that God has made available to us only here on earth, because it is a gift for us here on earth. So why miss out on anything when you can have it, right? And so, yeah, we don't have to speak in tongues. We get to speak in tongues. It is a privilege for us to speak in tongues. And what a joy and wonderful gift and privilege it is to be able to speak in tongues. You know, once I got my head, my intellect, out of the way, and I just totally trusted God, and I totally just put my dependence and reliance on God when speaking in tongues, that's when I began to experience the wonderful blessing of what God has for us. Now, most in Christendom, it seems, relate tongues to prayer. So when you talk about tongues, immediately they assume He's talking about praying. Going and praying and isolating yourself or praying in a group in your heavenly tongue as loud as you can, as boisterous as you can, as magnificent as you can. And that's praying in the spirit. You know, some people, I've been in prayer meetings where, you know, some people just, they look the part as they speak it. And that's fine. I mean, people express themselves differently. But, you know, it's really the quality of your tongue, if you will, is the quality of the Holy Spirit coming out of you from your spirit. That's ultimately what touches the heart of God. That's ultimately what God hears and what He receives. And so, many relate tongues to prayer only. But looking at Scripture, as we began to see last week and as we're going to see today, Scripture indicates that tongues is more for speaking than it is for just praying. We can pray in tongues and we should pray in tongues. But speaking in tongues is something that we should be doing all the time, whenever we can, whenever we want to, whenever we need to. We should be speaking in tongues. You know, when I drive, I speak in tongues. When I do things that I don't have to be engaged in, you know, attentively, I speak in tongues. When I'm walking and exercising, I speak in tongues. That's, you know, I'd like to have the experience that Paul had. I speak in tongues more than you all. Not because I want to be the biggest or the most tongue speaker, but just because he must have had some revelation that many in Christendom don't have. I'd like to think that we have. This is why we speak in tongues. And so we're going to dig into that a little bit more. But let's have a look at some examples here. We've already looked at Mark 16:17, but let's read that again. Talking about, you know, where Scripture talks more about speaking in tongues than it does praying in tongues. Mark 16:17, Jesus said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Watch what he says next. They shall speak. There's the word speak, with new tongues. See? Speaking in tongues. If it was just for prayer, he would have said there, they shall pray with new tongues. But yet he says they shall speak with new tongues. Then in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, we see the same thing again. Watch us. Talking about believers here who received the infilling of the Holy Spirit and with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began, watch us, to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice, speaking in tongues. It doesn't say they began to pray in tongues. It says they spoke in tongues. And then in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, we see again the same thing. It says, wherefore, brethren, and you know that includes the sister, and that's everyone, all believers, covet to prophesy, and forbid not, watch us, to speak with tongues. Notice, speak with tongues. So speaking in tongues, as I said, to me, from what I've studied and what I have seen and what God has shown me, is that there is more mention of speaking in tongues than there is praying in tongues. Now, there's great value in praying in tongues. I mean, we pray in tongues for you every single day as a team. We pray for at least an hour just in tongues in the Spirit for you, for your loved ones. And so I'm a strong proponent of praying in tongues. But outside of that, I personally speak in tongues as much as I can because I see the value of it and I trust that we all do. And so today, let's answer that second question. What is speaking in tongues? We're going to have a look at three things. What is speaking in tongues? Well, firstly, tongues is a heavenly language given to us by God for our benefit. All right, so tongues is a heavenly language given to us by God for our benefit. Let's have a look at this. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. The Apostle Paul, obviously inspired, he says this. He says, though I speak, watch this, with the tongues of men. In other words, the languages that people speak, languages known on the earth. But watch what he says next. And of angels. So what he is saying here is, I speak the languages known on earth, but I also speak the language of the heavens where the angels are, the language that they speak, he says. And have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now he's talking about love in the greater context here. And he says, if I don't have love, whatever I do is really valueless if I don't do it out of love. But I want to draw your attention here to the fact that he says, I speak known languages, but I also speak the language of heaven, angels, heavenly languages, in other words. See, so that shows us that it's a heavenly language given to us by God. Now, I want to show you something here. In that verse, you notice, if we can go back to that real quick, notice I've got the word tongues in yellow. I want us to have a look at that word in the original language, and I want to show you how they define it and what it means, okay? And so, watch this. First of all, from the Strong's Dictionary, tongues. There it is there, and the Strong's number, and it's written in the Greek, and then it's pronounced glossa, something like that. And here is how it's defined. Of uncertain affinity. In other words, it can't be pinned down to one root specifically, okay? It says it means the tongue, by implication, a language, which is how Paul is using it in this verse. But then also, look at what it says next. Specially, one naturally unacquired tongue. What does it mean when it says one naturally unacquired? In other words, this is a language, a tongue, that is not naturally acquired. It is not naturally learned. In other words, it is supernaturally acquired. So you can see from that, it's a heavenly tongue given to us by God for our benefit. And then a pocket lexicon to the Greek New Testament, this is how it defines that word, tongues. It's again, it's glossa. There are three different ways that it's defined. Look at this. Tongue, in other words, your physical actual tongue, especially as an organ of speech. Then secondly, tongue, referring to language. And then look at this one here. Also, usually in the plural, in other words, when it's more than one, in other words, you know, when someone speaks a number of words in that context, for the unintelligible sounds uttered in spiritual ecstasy. In other words, these are sounds that are not generated in our intellect, and there's multiple of them, and they just come out when we are in spiritual ecstasy, or you could say in a spiritual dimension, or in a spiritual state, or in a spiritual high, or on a spiritual move, when we are moved spiritually. So it's pretty interesting that even the original clarifies that it is not non-languages, that it is not, in the context that it's been used, referred to heavenly tongues. You can see that it's a heavenly tongue given to us by God, one that is not generated in our mind, in our intellect. It is one that comes from our spirit, as you can see. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. It says there, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Watch this. As the Spirit gave them utterance. So who gave them the words to speak, the utterance? The Holy Spirit. So you can see it doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from our intellect. It doesn't come from anything that we do. We get it from the Holy Spirit because it's a gift from God that is given to us for our benefit. The New Living puts that last phrase this way. As the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So who gives us the ability? The Holy Spirit. And then the Message translation puts it this way. As the Spirit prompted them. So you can see clearly from this that it backs up and it shows us that it is a supernatural, a heavenly language given to us by God for our benefit. And yes, the more we get used to it, the more we remember certain things, we're always able to start it off with the same words. I think that's just because of our nature that God has, you know, God allows us to do that, or he causes us to do that. But ultimately, when it just begins to flow, and I know that I have personally have found, when I focus more, and when I just focus on just my spirit, and letting my spirit flow out of me, the vocabulary seems to increase, the words seem to just change a whole lot more, and just get deeper, if you will. So it's pretty awesome. But you can see from this that it's from God. It's not from us. It's the Holy Spirit that prompts us. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us that ability. And then in Acts 19, verse 6, it says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, this is believers, watch this, the Holy Ghost, in other words, the Holy Spirit, came upon them, watch this, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So again, you see, the Holy Spirit comes upon someone and then they speak with tongues, meaning that the Holy Spirit brought this gift with him, gave it to them, and he's the one that causes them to speak it. So again, it's a heavenly tongue given to us by God for our benefit. And then in Acts chapter 10, verse 45 and 46, the first part of verse 46, it says, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. In other words, the Jewish people were astonished at what God was doing amongst the non-Jewish people. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out, watch this, the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles too, as they had experienced it. Watch what it says in verse 46. For, in other words, this is how they knew. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, here's a wonderful revelation about tongues. You can magnify God in tongues. So when you speak in tongues, you're actually magnifying God as well. You take a magnifying glass. Today, if you have a smartphone, most smartphones have a little app that's called Magnifier. Tap on it and it uses the phone's camera to just magnify really huge on something that's hard to read, for example, or hard to see. And so it serves as a magnifier, but it makes it huge and bigger than anything else. So everything else goes out of focus and you can just see the main thing that you're after. And so this is what this is saying. When you speak in tongues, you're magnifying God more than anything else around you, whatever you're going through. It's pretty awesome. This is another reason why, but that's for the benefit. So notice, they heard him speak with tongues when the Holy Ghost came upon them. And so we see from this that tongues is a heavenly language given to us by God for our benefit. So that's what the first thing that tongues is. The second thing that tongues is, remember we're answering the question, what is speaking in tongues? Well, here's the second thing. Tongues is a divine language spoken by our spirit directly to God and only understood by God. So it is a divine heavenly language, as we've seen it, that is spoken from our spirit, not from our feelings, not from our intellect, not from our flesh. It is spoken from our spirit, and it is spoken directly to God. So you are communicating directly with God, and He is the only one that understands. That's what tongues is. Let's have a look at some scripture to show us that. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Watch us. For he or she that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh, watch what it says next, not unto men. In other words, not to people, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So notice, right there you see, I've got it emboldened. When you and I speak in tongues, we're not speaking to people. So we're not supposed to really care what they think, what they don't think, whether they get it, whether they don't get it. Who cares? This is not conversation between us and them. This is communication between us and God. So tongues is a divine language spoken by our spirit directly to God and only understood by God. Because it says there, no human being understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries, it says. Or you could say, he speaks the things of God to God. Interesting. Now, let me show you that same verse from the Message translation. It's going to help us understand it even clearer. Watch this. It says, if you praise him, talking about God, in the private language of tongues, look at what it says next. God understands you, but no one else does. See, God understands it. For you are sharing intimacies just between you and him. I mean, when's the last time you shared something real personal, real intimate with someone else, another human being? We don't do that very often because we don't know how they're going to react. And sadly, in this world today, so many people, you know, they'll hear you, they'll listen to it, and then they'll go gossip about it to someone else, or when it suits them, they'll use that information against you. So there's a lot of mistrust in society, you know, because of the fallen nature of people. And so we don't really do that often. But here it says that when you and I speak in tongues, it says we're not speaking to people. In other words, it's a language that is coming from our spirit, and we are speaking directly to God, it says. And when we do that, it says that he's the only one that understands. But also at the same time, it says that we are sharing the most intimate, deepest things of our being, of our heart, of our mind, the deepest things that are in us, we are sharing them with God. Isn't that awesome? So, you know, sometimes, and this is why I say to you, with me personally, there's been times where I just haven't felt right. Sometimes, you know, just life gets to you. As I've said to you, I have faced depression. Sometimes, maybe once or twice that I can think of, in my opinion, and I regard myself as a tough guy, so for me to say that it was pretty severe, you have to know that it was severe. I mean, you know, the devil would start pumping thoughts of suicide and this and that, and I've never been suicidal, and I've never been one like that. But it doesn't prevent him from trying to attack you with those thoughts. And so, you know, when that has happened, I have just, instead of me seeking out, and I'm not saying it's wrong to seek, you know, seek out therapy or counseling, or it's good to do that because it's helpful. God uses those means. But with me personally, I've just found just locking myself away, just speaking in tongues, just speaking in tongues, just carry on speaking in tongues. I know that I'm speaking to God. I don't know what understands me, including me, but I can sense on the inside of me, my spirit, and in my heart even, I can sense that I am just, for the lack of a better word, I am uploading things to God, and He is downloading something to me. It is encouragement, it is courage, it is hope, but at the same time, I can feel the relief of those negative, heavy things just come out of me. And so this is what I believe, it's those intimacies between you and Him. So I always encourage people, if you have a certain struggle in your life that pulls you down, that is negative, that has a tendency to make you feel devalued, let me tell you, speak in tongues to God about it. Speak in tongues, as long as you need to, however many days you need to, however long it needs to go on, just do it. Some issues, we need to speak to God in tongues for life. But you know what? He helps us through it. Because that's what this is saying here. So again, you know, what is tongues? The second reason is, it is a divine language spoken by our spirit directly to God and only understood by Him. Look at 1 Corinthians 14 verse 13. Something else that I want to show you here. It says, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. In other words, whenever you and I speak in tongues, we should pray. We should ask God, in other words, that we interpret it. Interesting. Let me show you that word interpret. Let's go back there real quick. Remember, I've got it in yellow there. That word interpret, let me show you that from two original sources to see how they define it. So remember, we're looking at the word interpret, that he may interpret. First of all, let's have a look at the Strong's Concordance. Watch this. It is the word diermeneo. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. But here's what it means. To explain thoroughly, by implication, to translate, expound, interpret, or interpretation. So notice, to explain thoroughly. So looking at that verse, we could say, wherefore, you know, let him pray that he may explain thoroughly to yourself in a known language, in other words. Here's the Thayer's lexicon definition of the same word. Watch this. Firstly, it means to unfold the meaning of what is said. So notice it's a hidden meaning, but it is to unfold the meaning of what is being said. Secondly, it means to translate into one's native language. Now, let's leave that there for a moment. So if we were to read that verse with these meanings in it, you could say, wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may unfold the meaning of what is being said. Or you could say, let him pray that he may translate into his native language what he said in tongues. Pretty awesome, isn't it? So in other words, God gives us also the wonderful blessing of being able to get a glimpse of what it is that we say when we speak in tongues. So at any point, specifically when you're doing this prophetically, at any point when you are speaking in tongues, and if you sense there is something here that I'm saying that I need to know, there is something here that the people around me need to know, you have that, you get that unction, you get that knowing when you do that. Sometimes you just speak and you know it's just you speaking to God. But there are times when you get this unction where you sense you need to know what is being said here. That's when this happens. And so, you know, when you look at 1 Corinthians 14, 13 here as we've just read it, we can put it this way. This is my paraphrase. It's not on the screen. You could say that it's saying this. After speaking in tongues, ask God to help you explain and unfold in your known language what you said in tongues. That's in essence what that verse is saying. So when you have that unction, when you have that knowing, there's something here that I need to know, there's something that has come out of me that I need to know, then just pray and say, Father, Holy Spirit, reveal to me, help me unfold the meaning of what I just said. And sometimes you will speak it in your known language, and it will just flow out of you. And you know it's not coming from you. Sometimes He'll just drop the meaning in your mind and you'll get it. When it's specifically for you, he'll do it that way. But it's when for others, he'll make you aware of it, he'll let you know, and then you speak it out to them. Are you with me? And so that's what God is saying here. And you know, oftentimes, and specifically in the situation where we have been as a church for way too long, as far as I'm concerned, and you know, I know you have no idea how more frustrated I am than anyone else. But when I pray in the Spirit, and specifically about that, and you know, some people have said to me, how can you stick it out so long? I mean, you know, I've heard some people even say, you know, if it was me, I would have given up, I would have moved on. But let me tell you something. When I speak in tongues, when I pray in tongues, there's been times where I sense God wants me to know what's come out of me. And I say, Father, what have I just said? Reveal to me what I've just prayed. And you know, when it comes to this, I've heard nothing but hold on, keep going. The people will remain faithful. I will take care of you. Hold on, keep going. Something awesome is coming. And as you know, we received a word not so long ago that confirmed that too. And so, you know, we hold on to that. But I assure you, if God shows me anything otherwise, you'll know about it and it'll be it. Amen. But what I'm saying is that there's often times in our lives where you and I sense things like that. And, you know, if we need to know, we can say, Lord, reveal to me. Now, is he going to reveal everything? Well, I don't know, but he'll reveal what we need to know. Amen. And so you can see from this that God alone understands tongues because it is a gift he gave us for the purposes of communicating with him directly, but also to communicate with him perfectly, because it's a perfect way of connecting with him. And also, there's something else here, so that we can pray perfectly, not just speak to him perfectly, but also pray perfectly. Let me show you this here in Romans 8, verse 27. Watch what it says here. And he that searcheth the hearts, talking about God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. God knows his spirit, so he knows what his spirit is saying, right? Watch what it says next. Because, now talking about the Holy Spirit, he maketh intercession for the saints, that's us, according, watch us, to the will of God. So when you and I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is the one praying through our spirit, a language that only God understands. It's a heavenly supernatural language that only God understands. And God, who knows what the Spirit is saying, causes the Spirit to pray the perfect prayer according to his will for our lives. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? So you can see from this that, we can move on from that, you can see from this that God uses the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues in this case to pray the perfect prayer for our lives. So, you know, if you feel like your life hasn't been aligning with God's will, or you just feel that there's some realignment needed, or you need to get in line with that will, pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues. Because as you do that, the Holy Spirit prays through you, through your spirit, in this gift that God has given you, and he prays the perfect will of God for our lives. Pretty awesome. Look, let me show you that same portion from the NIRV translation, the New International Reader's Version. Praise God. I know some people weigh this translation down as a children's Bible, and it can be used for that, but I assure you, us grown-ups can benefit a whole lot from it. All right, Romans 8, verse 27 from the NIRV. Watch this. Same portion. God, who looks into our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit. Watch this. And the Spirit prays for God's people just as God wants him to pray. So when you pray in tongues, you are praying just as God wants, or should I say the Holy Spirit is praying through you, just as God wants him to pray. God knows everything. So he knows what needs to be prayed, and so he causes the Spirit to pray that. That is God's awesome love for us. He knows what's happening. He knows what needs to happen. So he moves the Holy Spirit to pray through us. So he respects our free will. But when we exercise our free will to pray in tongues, then God uses that to pray the perfect prayer for our lives. And so the same thing goes for speaking in tongues. When we are speaking in tongues, we're also speaking God's will into our lives. Pretty awesome, isn't it? All right. So remember, we're talking here about We're answering the question, what is speaking in tongues? And the second aspect is what we're discussing here, which is tongues is a divine language spoken by our spirit directly to God and only understood by God. Watch this now in 1 Corinthians 14:14. He says here, Paul, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, watch this, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. You see, people that try and figure out tongues, people that try and speak tongues, it's not going to happen, because it says there very clearly that it is your spirit that prays, and your understanding, your intellect is unfruitful. No fruit comes out of it. In other words, it's not generated from your mind. Look at how the Message translation puts that verse. If I pray in tongues, see, notice, if I pray, so it's our choice. He's not going to force us to pray in tongues. We need to initiate it. If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my mind, I love the way the Message translates this, because it's actually very accurate from the original. My spirit prays, but my mind lies fallow, and all that intelligence is wasted. I want you to just take that in for a moment. We're going to leave it there for a little bit, just to take it in. Notice, my spirit prays, for if I pray in a tongue, in other words, we need to be the ones that initiated by our free will. God's not going to force us to pray in tongues. For if I pray in tongues, your spirit prays, and your mind lies fallow. All that intelligence goes to waste. All right, we can go on from there. Now, pretty awesome, isn't it? What that's telling us is that if you're trying to do this from your mind, it's not going to happen. That's not where it gets generated from. It comes from your spirit, right? Which is what we've said. Now, it says that your mind is unfruitful, or that word fallow. Let's have a look at that message again. Watch this. But my mind lies fallow. That's a word, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right. I know with my accent, sometimes my words sound different. But that word is a word that is not often used here in the United States. It's more of a British word. It's more of an unknown old word. But it's actually a powerful word, because that's the original. I had to look at the original meaning of that word. Not just fallow, but the actual word in the text, unfruitful. It actually means this. It means fallow. So let me show you from two different sources what that word fallow means. First of all, from the American Oxford Dictionary, here's what the word fallow means. Of farmland, plowed and harrowed, in other words, prepared with plows, but left unsown for a period in order to restore its fertility as part of a crop rotation or to avoid surplus production. Let's leave it there for a moment. Let me tell you a little bit about what it's saying. You know, in farming, they have to prepare the land with plows so that they can put the seed in the ground so that it can grow. And then they cultivate it, they water it. Well, fallow is the term that you use when a farmer prepares the ground, but then doesn't sow any seed on it and leaves it for a time, normally a season, a harvest season, or sometimes they leave it up to a year. They just leave the land prepared, but that's it, nothing else. They don't put any seed in it. And what that allows the soil, the land to do, is to restore itself so that the next time a seed is sown, it produces a bumper crop or abundantly. Or if they have too much harvest, then they just leave it and not sow seed either. That's what it's saying. So interesting, isn't it? Now, that's the Oxford Dictionary. So think about it in terms of what it's saying, that your mind lies fallow. In other words, yes, your mind is prepared. Your mind is ready to do what it does. But when you speak in tongues, when you pray in tongues, your spirit is praying. So your mind is on hold and it's not going to produce anything. And really, if you look at this, and we'll do a teaching on it sometime, but part of speaking in tongues, part of praying in tongues, allows our mind to become more productive and produce a lot more. It's pretty awesome. I mean, there's a single message right there, which I'll teach on one day. So let me show you now the Wikipedia encyclopedia and how it defines that word fallow. Watch this. The goal of fallowing is to allow the land to recover and restore organic matter while retaining moisture and disrupting pest life cycles and soil-borne pathogens by temporarily removing the host, talking about plants or seeds. Crop rotation systems typically called for some of a farmer's fields to be left fallow each year. In other words, what this is saying is that the way God has created this earth, it needs a rest. We can move on from that. It needs a rest. It needs to be left alone for a season, for a while, preferably a year, according to them. Because what that allows is it allows that soil, who knows how it works, God does, but it allows that soil to recover itself so that it can produce even more so the next time seed is sown into it. So for someone to think that you can just keep putting seed in soil and never give it a break, they're going to eventually get no crop from it. That's why I think you have some lands that are just dry and produce nothing, because they've been abused, for the lack of a better word. They've been overused. And so you can see that it's a principle of creation. And when it says that your spirit prays, but your mind lies fallow, in other words, you've got to allow your mind. And you know, here's another thing. If your mind has been full of thoughts, just a lot of thinking, you feel like you're just weighed down with overthinking, just too much going on. You know, sometimes people feel it's just too much for my brain. I can't wrap my brain around it. Well, apparently you need to fallow your brain. And so what you do is you pray in the spirit. And when you do that, it allows your mind to take a rest and rejuvenate, recover, whatever you want to put in there. It's pretty awesome. And you know, without even really understanding this, like we're studying it today, I have so often found that when I speak in tongues, when I pray in tongues, my mind just seems to clear itself and just be in a better state when I'm done. Well, here it is. God shows us. God knew all along. And in actual fact, this thing about land is actually something that God, even way back in the beginning days of creation, even in those early days of mankind, God actually made this known to us. Look at this, for example, in Exodus 23, verse 10 to 11, the first part of 11. It's a biblical principle because it's a principle of creation. Watch what God says here. He says, plant and harvest your crops for 6 years. This is him given under the law, one of the instructions. So he says, plant and harvest crops for 6 years. Watch this now. But let the land be renewed and lie uncultivated, in other words, fallow, during the 7th year. So even God, I mean, he created it. He knows the land has to rest. And in the same way, when we pray in the Spirit, our mind has to rest. Our mind has to lay fallow, as it said. Pretty overwhelming, pretty awesome, isn't it? So this is why, you know, just get your mind out of the way and just pray in tongues, speak in tongues, and we'll see the wonderful benefit of that. Amen. So while it may seem a waste not to pray intelligently, because I've had some people who have an issue with tongues and they need to listen to part one. But I've heard some people say, well, you know, I'd rather pray intelligently. I'd rather know what I'm praying, and I'd rather express myself in the way that I know how to express myself with God. Okay, well, while it may seem a waste not to pray intelligently when you pray in tongues, when you speak in tongues, the honest truth is praying and speaking in tongues is one of the most fruitful things you can do for yourself, for your life, and those around you. That's what that is saying. That's what that verse is telling us, isn't it? So praying in tongues, as we've seen, comes from our spirit, not our mind. Praying in tongues is praying from our spirit, not our mind. Amen. So, tongues then, as we've said, which is the second thing I'm showing you about what is tongues here, tongues is a divine language spoken by our spirit directly to God and only understood by Him. And that's the way it should be. Yet we can pray and say, Lord, show me what I've just prayed. Praise God that it gives us a glimpse into what we've prayed. Amen. All right, so we're answering the question, what is speaking in tongues? And here's the third thing that I want to share with you. Tongues serve as evidence of the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That is a different experience that a believer can have. When you and I receive salvation in Jesus, yes, the Holy Spirit lives in us. He lives through us. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit. But there is an additional distinct experience with the Holy Spirit that we can have. And that is called the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of that is that you speak in tongues. It doesn't make you less of a Christian. It doesn't make you less valuable to God. It just means that you're missing out on something that God has made available to you. Amen. And so, but tongues does serve as evidence of the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Watch us in Acts 19, verses 1 to 7 from the New Living Translation. It says, while Apollos, this was also another type of apostle that was ministering, was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. So notice, these were believers. These were people who had already received salvation in Jesus. So they were born again, right? They had the Holy Spirit already in them. So he found them, he says. Verse 2, then he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked. So notice, he could see that they were born again. He could see that they were believers. But yet he says, did you receive, referring to the infilling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as you'll see in a moment. And so they say, no, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. In other words, we didn't even know there was such an experience. You see, people need to be educated on this. Not be educated against it, but educated for it, because it's for them. Verse 3, watch this. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. Notice he likens receiving the Holy Spirit with baptism. He says, what baptism did you experience? And they replied, the baptism of John. That's John the Baptist before, you know, before the cross. Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. In other words, yes, John's baptism was preparatory, but there is another baptism that Jesus makes available to us, talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll look at verse 5. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they did the proper water baptism in the name of Jesus, like all believers should. Then it says in verse 6, then when Paul had laid his hands on them, watch this, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So notice, these were already believers. And yet Paul says to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you received salvation in Jesus? And they said, no. Then he makes it clear to them that this is a second and distinct experience. And so then he lays his hands on them, and as evidence that they were filled with the Spirit, as evidence that they were baptized in the Spirit, as evidence that they received the second experience of the Holy Spirit, they began to speak with tongues. And also they prophesied, it says, right? Now, the term baptism of the Holy Spirit is synonymous with the term the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Let me show you this. We saw it earlier. Acts 2 verse 4. Watch this. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit is the same thing, and both times it is evidenced with speaking in tongues. Amen. So you can see from that that speaking in tongues, well, let me say this before I say anything else. Speaking in tongues is not all there is to the Holy Spirit. And I know some people think that because of what we've just read. But, you know, and the Holy Spirit is not just for speaking in tongues. That's the part that we get to enjoy. There's a whole lot more. There's gifts. He's our friend. He's our comforter. He's the one that is in us and with us as Jesus. Amen. So there's a lot more than that. But we're talking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So to conclude our point there and clarify it, tongues serve as evidence of the baptism of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We're answering the question, what is speaking in tongues, right? So in summary, it's going to come up on the screen. Let me show you those three points we've covered today. In summary, speaking in tongues is speaking in a heavenly language given to us by God for our benefit. And we're going to cover the benefit next week. Secondly, speaking in tongues is speaking in a divine language from our spirit directly to God and only understood by Him. And thirdly, speaking in tongues is evidence of the baptism or infilling of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. Amen. And so once there we've answered the question, what is speaking in tongues? And that's what it is. Praise God. What a wonderful gift. What a wonderful thing to have. What a wonderful thing that God has made available to us. Amen. I trust that this has just reignited and just moves you to speak in tongues more, to pray in tongues more, because you can see it is such a wonderful, wonderful gift that God has given us. Amen. Well, praise God, praise God.
We trust you were blessed by this message. For more resources and to support our ministry, please go to redemptioninjesus.com.